Good morning, everyone, and welcome. On this beautiful summer Sunday morning, I welcome you to worship in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And I welcome you from Deacon Bill, Cantor Dave. Our computer guru today is Karen Whidden, and our soloist is Denise Cole and myself. And we welcome you as we worship God together. So each Sunday, as you know by now, as we gather for worship, we talk about things that we're thankful for that have been going on in our lives. And so pondering for yourself, what are you thankful for today or for this past week? And I have to say to you that one of the things I am very thankful for is our sense of moving forward. COVID-19 certainly is not behind us at all. But there is a sense of hope and moving forward, and our task force is looking into that, what our new normal will be, looking at all the issues with in-house worship. Now, there are a couple things that we do know right now, and that is that only 36 to 50 folk, which includes the worship leaders, will be able to worship at one time in-house. That number depends on how many family units. We will be meeting tomorrow night via Zoom. Thank goodness for electronics and all this stuff. So please keep us all in your prayers as we start to move forward and feel the push and pull of the Spirit going ahead. So some important announcements, and I know you're not used to having so many announcements on Sunday morning, but it's really the only way I can communicate with you. And yes, we do have a guest sitting right there because the gospel is all about welcoming one another. The devotion books for July through September are out in the box outside the main entrance doors, and you know the drill by now. We're all getting used to this new normal, I think. You drive up and pick one or two up, and if you know somebody who would like to have them but can't get here, please take some for them also and deliver them. You're going to be receiving a very short three-question survey this week to see what your feelings are about returning to worship in person. It's short and it's sweet, and the more that take time to answer our three questions, the more information we will have as we process moving forward. And next Sunday, Bishop Bartholomew and our New Jersey staff are providing worship for us, which will be very wonderful. The rostered leaders and musicians are, and everybody else involved in doing all of this worship by Zoom and whatever else, are very grateful for this. So you will be getting information about that on an e-blast. It's the same thing as we did in May. So I pray that each one of you will have a wonderful, safe distancing and a mask wearing 4th of July weekend. And one last thing. I want to share with you, we've been praying for somebody named Millie in our prayers the last few weeks. This is Deacon Bill's mother, Millie, who is now in hospice care. And so I ask you to please keep Deacon Bill and his family in your prayers as they move forward in these final steps of Millie's life. So now, please get your phones ready to send the peace of Christ to someone when we share it together. And let us prepare our hearts to worship God. My prayer is that our time together will be a time of peace and hope and grace for each one of you. We are beginning worship with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. And I know last week I used the newer one for the summer, and I heard from a few of you, can we use the traditional one so we can pray along with you? So if you go to your hymnals on page 94, walk away, pick up your hymnal, and come on back. I'm going to be using that form of confession. So, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for each one of us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to each one of you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And now, let us pray. O God, you direct our lives by your grace, and your words of justice and mercy reshape the world. Mold us into a people who welcome your word and serve one another through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. So now, kids, it's time for us. And let me see. I'm going to trip if I go that way. That would not be pretty. So I did bring a friend with me today, and his name is Toby. So, anybody ready to raise their hand and let me know that you're here? Nate and Kate. And Jillian, I loved your unicorns on your bedroom wall. That was so pretty. And Rachel and Elizabeth and Christopher, Olivia and Allie, Rachel, David, Harrison, Benjamin, Grace, Brian. Hope I've got all of you. And this is my friend Toby. And Toby has been my friend for a really, really long time. He's going to hold my microphone for me. And look, Toby even came complete with a mask today, because Toby knows how important it is to be wearing a mask so that nobody around us can get sick. So I brought Toby because he's been saying, you know, I really would like to go to church and I'd really like to meet the kids. Do you think they'd let me come in? Do you think they'd be friends with me? I said, well, you know what, Toby? Today's the perfect day to do that, because Jesus talks to us about that in the gospel, about welcoming one another, and that when we welcome a new friend, when we welcome anybody, that we're welcoming Jesus. Remember that? Yeah. So when each of us was baptized, and Pastor Peggy was baptized a long, 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 long time ago. But when I was baptized, I kind of got this little job from Jesus, this wonderful job from Jesus. And that is to welcome one another in Jesus' name and to welcome them to be our friend. And that's what the gospel is about today. It also talks about sharing a cup of cold water with one another. And you know, in Jesus' day, a cup of cold water was really something very hard to come by, because they did not have ice cubes like we do. Jesus could not go to his refrigerator and get ice cubes. They didn't have such a thing. So to offer somebody cold, somebody something very cold to drink, was a gift. It was a true gift of love. And that's what Jesus is talking about, is that we share our love with one another by sharing the little things of life. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for welcoming us in the waters of baptism. Thank you for helping us to welcome others in your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I'm going to put Toby down on the bench sitting next to me.
The first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 28, verses 5 through 9. Through a symbolic action, Jeremiah insisted that Judah and all the surrounding nations should submit to the king of Babylon. Hananiah contradicted the word of Jeremiah, who in reply insisted that Hananiah's rosy prediction should not be believed until it came true. God confirmed the word of Jeremiah and sentenced the false prophet Hananiah to death. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priest and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words that you have prophesied and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. But listen now to this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent that prophet." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing. Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing. From age to age, my mouth will proclaim your faithfulness. For I am persuaded that your steadfast love is established forever. You have set your faithfulness firmly in the heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David, my servant. I will establish your line forever and preserve your throne for all generations. Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing. Happy are the people who know the festal shout. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your presence. They rejoice daily in your name. They are jubilant in your righteousness. For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our might is exalted. Truly, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel. Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. Sin is an enslaving power which motivates us to live self-serving, disobedient lives. Sin's final payoff is death. We, however, have been set free from sin's slavery to live obediently under God's grace, whose end is the free gift of eternal life. St. Paul writes, "Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you were now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is just sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Speak, O Lord, your servant is listening. You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel, according to Matthew, the 10th chapter, starting with the 40th verse. When Jesus sends his disciples out as missionaries, Jesus warns them of persecution and hardships they will face. He also promises to reward any who aid his followers and support his ministry. Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I was just getting ready to make the motions for you all to sit down. I think you are already all sitting down. So grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Kind of humorous how some of our habits stay there. And as I was reading this gospel today and over the past week and kind of mulling it over, it's the shortest one I've had gotten to read in a long time. Some of our gospels lately have been humongously long. And one of the things I miss from our old normal is every Sunday when I would come to church, there would be a cup of cold water sitting right here by the pulpit for me. And there's nobody to do that for me anymore besides myself. So today I have my cup of cold water. Simple pleasures, simple things of life, right? So this text about cup of cold water is something that's also very important in Stephen ministry, in our training of Stephen ministers. We talk a lot about giving up a cup of cold water. So I'm wondering what you think of today's passage. It's so different than last week's, very, very different. And I have to say that on my first glancing over it, I came up a little bit empty. Last week, we had predictions of suffering and persecution, and I wondered first, was this kind of a counterpoint to last week's gospel, the promise of distant glory in contrast to last week's declaration of imminent struggle, kind of a risk and reward assessment for discipleship? I don't think so. It's more than that. As Jesus is also talking about how the disciples, and that's you and me and the disciples back then, are drawn into relationship with God through our own testimony, our own struggle, and our acts of mercy that we perform and are performed on our behalf. All well and good, but still, a little bit vague. And then the one line that really jumped out at me, the last line of this very brief passage, and whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of those will lose their reward. So what a little thing, don't you think, to give a cup of water? And Jesus emphasizes the same by his use of the word even. We often imagine our discipleship as requiring huge sacrifice or entailing great feats, and sometimes it does. Sometimes our sacrifice is the sacrifice of our financial gifts. We have different kinds of sacrifices we name and have in the name of discipleship. But other times, Jesus seems to be saying to us that it's just nothing more than this, a cup of cold water to one in need, or offering a hug to someone who is grieving. Now, that's a little more challenging in today's world, isn't it? Virtual hugs just aren't quite the same as a real, true hug, but we still hug however we are able to. Or maybe it's a listening ear to someone in need of a friend, or offering a ride to someone without a car, or picking up their groceries for them so they don't have to go out, or volunteering at a food bank, or making a donation to Lutheran World Relief. I think you get the idea. Discipleship doesn't have to be heroic. Like all the small acts of devotion and tenderness and forgiveness that go largely unnoticed, but tend the relationships that are most important to us. Those simple things, acts of devotion and tenderness and forgiveness, they nurture those important relationships in our lives. And so also, our life of faith is composed of 1,000 small gestures, except that according to Jesus, there is no such thing as a small gesture. Anything done in faith and love has cosmic significance for the ones involved, and indeed for the world God loves so much. I brought Toby along today for a couple of reasons. Toby is a little puppet that I've been using for many, many, many years in my children's messages. And I thought today was kind of the perfect day to bring Toby to St. Matthew, because it reminds me of being on the outside and looking in, and the small gesture of someone going over to that child on the playground and saying, come on, join our game. Come and be part of us. That's why I brought Toby along today, to be a part of us. And I think you probably all know as well as I do the story about the star thrower, the one about the guy tossing starfish after starfish into the sea, and when asked why, he replies that, well, if they don't get back into the water soon, they'll dry out and die. And looking at a beach strewn with thousands of starfish, his person talking to him says, he can't possibly hope to make any difference. To which he says, and this is the famous closing line, to the ones I throw back, it makes all the difference in the world. To that one child who's on the outside of the playground wanting so much to be part of the gang playing, it means everything in the world to be invited in. Jesus has promised to come in time to redeem all of us in love, to fix all damage, to heal all hurts, and wipe the tears from every eye. But we can, in the meantime, devote ourselves to acts of mercy and deeds of compassion, small and large, not trying to save the world, because Jesus has promised to do that and has done it, but simply trying to care for the little corner of the world in which you and I have been placed in the name of Jesus. And so even a cup of cold water can make a huge and unexpected difference to those to whom we give it. And according to Jesus, such acts have eternal and cosmic consequences. So can you imagine that, my brothers and sisters, that each and every act of mercy rings through the eons and across the universe, filled with Christ's love for the world, a love that we can share anytime and anywhere with gestures that may seem small in the eyes of the world, but loom so large in the life of those who witness and experience them? One of the positive things coming out of COVID-19, and there are a couple positive things that are coming out, is the sense of kindness being expressed, of people being so much more gentle and polite and kind with one another, and reaching out to care for their neighbors and to care for those in need, reaching out with their food and bringing it to food banks to serve those who are experiencing hunger. God knows I'm certainly not experiencing hunger at all, and most of us are not. Our joyful acts, our gestures of love and mercy and compassion in the name of Jesus mean so much to so many. There is no such thing as a small gesture. And our cups of cold water, our hugs, our helping hands, our listening ears, and I think what I'm feeling from people is maybe what they need most right now are our listening ears. They are caring for this world that God loves so much. At the time of you celebrated my anniversary of ordination, I received so many cards, and I save every single one of them. And I've put them in a very special place where I can pull them out when I need a little pick-me-up. That little gesture that so many of you took to write notes to me, some by email, and the very tender note I received yesterday by email from a member of the congregation, you have no idea how much these small gestures help. How they bring a smile to a person's face, how they bring a hug to our hearts who need hugs so badly. I thank you for how much love and care you have shown to me, these little cups of water that are not so very little. You've also seen cups of cold water being passed around to one another. Lift those gifts up before God in thanksgiving. This is not law-oriented, this is grace. Give thanks to God for these wonderful gifts. Because in the name of Jesus, they are making this world that is so hurting right now, in so much pain and in so much anxiety, just making it a better place. And it is gladdening the heart of our God. Amen.
Thank you.
Called into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. We pray for those convalescing, homebound, and all affected by isolation, for our first responders, our military members and their families, doctors, nurses, medical technicians, all essential workers, those working tirelessly, serving their neighbors and keeping us safe. We pray especially this day for our police men and women, including Tom and Megan Campbell, for John and Willie and Millie, Ralph and Eleanor, our call committee and call process, our Stephen Ministry caregivers and receivers, our loved ones in nursing homes and care facilities, our reopening task force for in-house worship, and others we name before you in the silence of our hearts or out loud on our lips. Bring healing and relief to all, and give us hope in the promise of new and eternal life, where pain and suffering will be no more.
Our response today is, your mercy is great. God of companionship, encourage our relationships with our siblings in Christ. Bless our conversations, shape our shared future, and give us hearts eager to join in a festal shout of praise. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of abundance, you make your creation thrive and grow to provide all that we need. Inspire us to care for our environment and be attuned to where the earth is crying out. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of mercy, your grace is poured out for all. Inspire authorities, judges, politicians to act with compassion. Teach us to overcome fear with hope, meet hate with love, and welcome one another as we would welcome you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of care, accompany all who are in deepest need. Comfort those who are sick, lonely, or abandoned. Strengthen those who are in prison or awaiting trial. Renew the spirits of all who call upon you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of community, we give thanks for this congregation. Give us passion to embrace your mission and the vision to recognize where you are leading us. Teach us how to live more faithfully with each other. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of love, you gather in your embrace all who have died. Keep us steadfast in our faith and renew our trust in your promise. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Receive these prayers, O God, and those too deep for words, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So now I hope you have your cell phones ready. so that we can pass the peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you always. Peace, Bill. Peace, Dave. Peace, Karen. Peace, Denise. And now we pray the words our Lord taught us using the more familiar words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him. And abound in thanksgiving and the blessing of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.